Light at the end of the road. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Light at the end of the road. What is the light at the end of the road? Are we aware of the light at the end of the road? Do we think there is a light at the end of the road? Do we think that when we are going to die, we're going to see a light at the end of the tunnel? We're going into a darkness, that we're going into something that is not there. Well, people who have died have not died. They have come back from their near-death experience, and they think they have died. But they have experienced the experience of a tunnel. They have experienced the idea of there being something away from themselves, or something different from who they are. And they feel that that is what death is all about. They feel that the light at the end of the road is the illumination, is the brilliance, is the peace, is the joy that they've been looking for, the bliss that they've been seeking to find for their life. Well, strangely enough, this is not so. Because life is immortal, and we go on and on and on, and we never change. We never change. We think that we'll have a different experience. We think there's death. We think there's hell, there's purgatory, there's heaven. We think all these things. Those things have come out of the fertile imagination of man's mind because he has no other thought to think about. Now, one day there'll be a new story about purgatory and death and hell and life and heaven and so forth. And as this new story comes out, we'll embrace it with all the enthusiasm that we embrace the Big Bang Theory. Now, the Big Bang Theory is indeed just a theory. It's just a matter of what one person or a series of scientists have thought because of a given series of incidents. Now, people who have near-death experiences, they want to tell you they had a near-death experience. Well, actually, what they didn't. They had a traumatic experience. They had an experience where they were going to perhaps leave this body, which we do every evening when we go to sleep. They thought perhaps they were going to leave this life in which they exist and have their being, and we do that all the time. Every time we go into meditation, we leave this body. Every time we go into introspection, we leave this body. Every time we go to sleep, every time we wake up, sometimes we wake up with a start because we've been somewhere else. We've been on some other level of consciousness, some other dimension of beingness, and we think, wow, wasn't that something? But we don't have the slightest idea what it was. If we had the ability in our human mentality to understand all levels of awareness, all levels of consciousness, all dimensions on which we experience our eternal life, we'd be quite busy. We'd be quite busy. It's just bad enough if you say to someone, okay, tell me, what did you do yesterday? I do this to my staff here at the university campus. We sit around the breakfast table in the monastery, and I say to them collectively or individually, well, what did you do yesterday? Or I'll say in the evening, well, what did you do today? Something to establish a conversation. Well, they haven't the vaguest idea what they did. They don't know whether they had been working on the gist and creating the magazine to go out to all of our people. They don't know whether they'd been receiving worldwide ministry healing telephone calls. They don't remember that. They don't remember whether someone called to leave a message for somebody else. They don't even leave the message. You see, what I'm saying by this is not that these are a bunch of incompetents. Truly, they are incompetents, but I'm not saying they're a bunch of incompetents. What I'm saying is that if we have difficulty remembering what we did 10 minutes ago, If we have difficulty remembering what we were thinking about during the day, if we have difficulty remembering telephone messages, and we have to write the telephone message on the message pad so that it can be passed on to whoever it's for. If we have difficulty in remembering numbers, if we have difficulty in remembering names, if we have difficulty in remembering faces, my goodness sakes, can you understand how we live on dimensions and dimensions and dimensions? And if we were to begin to remember what we do on the various dimensions, we would create a very active, very vital, dynamic life. Now, psychologists, medical science tells us that if people will do crossword puzzles, if people will keep their mind active, keep their mind alert, keep their mind busy, they will live a happy, healthy, long life filled with great experiences. But people don't do that. People want to forget. People want to forget yesterday. They want to forget a moment ago. They are not interested in the past. And, of course, they have no idea what the future is because they think the future is not real. It hasn't. It hasn't been expressed in their life yet, so therefore it's not real. Yet the future is already done. It's not fatalistically. It is just done. What imaginative things we're going to do and how we're going to do it, what sort of pathways we're going to do to do our next step, We already know that, because all things are, all things exist as a done thing. It's not that in our game playing as human beings, where we want to play games and determine what we're going to do next and what things are important to us, what things are things that we're going to follow up on and do. No, that's not important. You see, the light at the end of the tunnel is really the light that's us. Once we focus our attention on that light at the end of the tunnel, which I'm not suggesting, but once we focus our attention on the light at the end of the tunnel, we'll find out that it is the light that we currently are in. It is the light that we are living in now. And that if we were to focus our attention on the light we are now, we would find that we are so brilliant, we are so beautiful, we are so fantastic. There are no words. No words can describe it. No words can tell us how wonderful things are. No words can tell us how great it is to live in now. Yeah? It's the vogue these days. Many people are talking about living in now. But this is not really vogue. It is what philosophers have been thinking about all of their lives. It is what teachers have been teaching all of their life. I want that now. I want you to think about it now. I am here now to share with you now. I have no time for you to think about it tomorrow or yesterday. I want you to think about it right now. I want you to know right now. I want you to be right now. I want you to live right now. I want you to enjoy right now. I want you to have the allness that is right now. I want you to really find that which is most exciting, that which is most revealing, that which is most uplifting right now. I want you to be that right now. Well, the only way we can be that right now is to take our focus away from the light at the end of the tunnel and look at the light in which we dwell. Look at the light in which we live, move, and have our being right here, right now. And an exciting light that is. Now, in our experience of people, some people have the ability to turn up the rheostat of their light so brilliantly that we can't see them. And they can see everything, and yet they see nothing, because they see the allness. With this super brilliance of this light, they see the allness. And in seeing the allness, there is no uniqueness. Now, to what degree do you want to turn up the rheostat on the power source of your life? Do you want to turn it up so you see the allness that you really cannot comprehend? Or do you want to turn it up to see the isness as it goes along, the itemized items that are passing through your life, the car, the house, the people, the circumstances, the trees, the garden? What is it you want to focus on? When you have your light turned so brilliant, as the infinite light is so brilliant, it sees nothing because it is everything. And it is everything because it sees nothing. Now, the moment it begins to see any individual things, it ceases to be everything. This is a concept we speak about often in absolute. When we think and look at the light, which we are, and we look at this light, and we look at it more and more brilliantly, then we are this light more and more brilliantly. Now, how brilliant do we want to turn up the rheostat? How brilliant do we want this light to glow? Do we want it to glow so brilliant that there is no light at the end of the tunnel because we are that light? Do we want the light to glow so brilliant that we look at every little thing in its ideal outline and we see it whole and perfect, we see it revealed and we see it fulfilled right now? What is it that we really want to do? It's a good question. And it's a good thought. And it's something that how many people that you know of are able to do it? To think on this is quite fascinating. To think on this and think of the light at the end of the tunnel, the lamp on the table, the candle glowing in the distance, the sparkle in someone's eyes, the iridescence of the personality, the charisma of a person who walks into a room and they light up the room with their presence, with their consciousness, with their attitude, and they don't think that they're doing anything great. They don't think that they are so superior to everybody. What they are is just being themselves and having fun. You and I, we can light up the end of the road. We can be that light at the beginning of the road, at the end of the road, no matter where it is. But we have to determine what is it that we want to be. What light do we want to be? Do we want to be the brilliant light, so brilliant it sees nothing but itself? That's, of course, an ideal situation. But in our human attitude, we want to live in unconditional love. We want to be a joyful center. We want to give of ourselves in every perfect way. And in giving of ourselves in every perfect way, what is it that we're going to see? And what we're going to see is the beauty that we are. For the beauty that we are is so glorious, so wonderful, it can be compared, I guess there's no other word than compare for compare. It cannot be laid side by side with all other beauty, all other light, and be seen for what it is. For the radiance of a flower, you look at it, and you say, that's a lovely flower, it smells good. And then your child brings you a flower. And they say, here, mommy, here, daddy, this is for you. And you look at the flower and you say, what a thoughtful gift. What a lovely child. What a beautiful thing to do. And your heart bubbles over and you're glowing so brightly. You don't see that your child has dirty hands or a dirty face. You don't see their clothes are dirty. You don't see that they're not ready to do whatever the next thing is we're going to do in the household. You don't see that at all. You only see through the glow of the light that you are. Your child is perhaps the light at the end of the tunnel. And in that tunnel is a lot of mischief, but you don't see that at all. All you see is the light. All you see is the light of the gift of your child of flowers to you. And that brightens up your day. Now, I mention this because it's so simple, so practical, so common. But think about it. When a child brightens up your day by just bringing you some flowers, or by giving you a hug and a kiss, or by giving you a caring thought, when your child enters into that attitude, your child is turning up the rheostat in your life by its presence and its love and its unconditional givingness. And you don't know how it happened. You think, isn't that lovely? But you have your fingers on the rheostat, and you can turn it more and more. You can turn it down so that you see his dirty hands and dirty face and so forth, or you can turn it up so you too see only what he is shining forth. You see the purity of the child, the joyousness of the child. You see the sense of his sharing and how great that is. This is our choice in life. This is our choice in everything we do. And the question becomes for us, what do we do with it? That's our decision. That's our choice right now. What do we do with it? Are you ready to live in that awareness and that consciousness of eternal peace? Are you ready to live in that thought? Are you ready to be a master of yourself? If you're ready, I'm ready, then don't be so surprised when you don't see the negativity of the world and you only see the goodness. And keep on seeing only the goodness. And as you see only the goodness, your light will continually access that rheostat and turn it up more and more fully, until finally you are all light. And when you are all light, then you are all life. Then you are all of existence. You are the allness, and there is nothing else beside you. Makes for an interesting concept, doesn't it? How the light at the end of the tunnel, with our rheostat, turns on the light to be the allness, and right now. Join with me in that light. Join with me, turning your own rheostat. And you turn it with love. You turn it with joy. You turn it with delight in seeing the world about you and all its beauty. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.